This gospel text is a remarkable story of the power and the compassion of Jesus. And we're going to look at the letter to the Hebrews. But this whole incident takes place in an area kind of like the Las Vegas of that world. And that Jesus would free this man and set him like this free. It's a long text, because this dimension of our Lord's ministry and his power is very important to Mark and to us. The power of Jesus over unclean spirits, over demons. Now, in the letter to the Hebrews, we have chapter 11, the last verses concluding chapter 11, which is, you know, is all on faith. As he comes to this part of his discourse, after having finished describing that act of Jesus by which we're saved, as you heard, he starts to talk about this gift of God, which gives us this reality, this divine life that the Son of God has won for us. And it gives it to us, this faith, you see, to lay hold of this truth. Well, this truth is not just an abstract proposition. It's the divine meaning of life given to us to lay hold of and to live by. And it is an energy. You know, the first line of this text says, faith is the substance, the hypostasis of things to be hoped for. It means we already have what we hope for. We just don't have it in its full form. Or, if you will, in the way that it, we have it in an imperfect way, but we have what we hope for. We have eternal life. And it is the guarantee, if you will, of things not seen. It's amazing when you think of this. It's, you know, as it says in the first letter of Peter, though you do not see him, you love him. How is that? How is it that we know him? That we love him? That we want to follow him? That we want to hear from him? We don't see him. We don't touch him. What a powerful thing faith is. And what this text then does is begin to trace out, in this sort of, you've heard it now for days, the summary. I don't have time to tell you. I'd love to tell you, you know, about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel. I'd love to stop and help you think of these, he says, you know. Faith, look at Gideon. The Lord promised, you take this little band and you will conquer the Midianites. And he did. And Barak, who freed the people. And then Samson, who in his weakness finally conquered the enemy. And so forth. David. They conquered kingdoms. They did what was righteous, which is as big a job as conquering a kingdom. They obtained the promises. They close the mouths of lions. And if you have time, you ought to look at this and try to figure out who closed the mouth of a lion? Who put out raging fires? Who escaped the devouring sword? These are all people. Out of weakness, they were made powerful by faith. Now you see what he's saying? They had the same gift that we do. But we have it in its perfection on earth, the perfection of faith is the vision of God. But we have it now. They didn't have that. And yet, they believed in the same God. And they believed implicitly in his Messiah who was to come. And in that power, look what they did. Heroes, huh? Women received back their dead through resurrection. You know the story of Elijah and Elisha. And then some were tortured and would not accept deliverance in order to obtain a better resurrection. He's probably thinking of the Maccabees there. Others endured mockery, scourging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. That's the tradition about Jeremiah. Sawn in two. That's the tradition about Isaiah. Put to death at sword's point. Why? Because it's so hard for us to accept the truth. And so we persecute it. And that's the point. The truth is too radiant, too glorious, and too demanding. And so we persecute it. And these people, now, what is this faith then? He's going on to say, yet all these, though approved because of their faith, did not receive what had been promised, namely the Messiah. God had foreseen something better for us, so that without us, they should not be made perfect. Perfect. He already said in chapter 10, that the purpose for which Jesus offered his whole body was so that we could be made perfect. Remember what perfect means now, right? It means three things. It means to have a great moral excellence. It means to be rendered apt for eternal life. And it means to be a priest. And by faith, by this anointing of faith, we are being made perfect. But it means hanging on to this truth. What does it mean to be, well, the moral excellence we get, dying to sin, living to God, being ready, prepared, finally, for eternal life, even if the more of this process of faith has to take place in purgatory, still we will be made perfect. And finally, able to give ourselves to God the Father in an act of love, which is the heart of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Offer ourselves. Offer ourselves. And therefore, bring salvation to the world. Faith. That means clinging to the truth. You know the truth. You have been taught the truth. You have heard the truth. You know it. The hard thing is to cling to it when there's opposition, from the outside or from the inside. And that's why he writes this. Tomorrow, we'll start on Jesus. With all this cloud of witnesses, let us cling. Let us run like Jesus, who endured the cross, despising the shame.